television. You can make more money faster in television than in any other advertising medium. Unfortunately, you can lose more money just as quickly. A sophisticated, complex, expensive medium that requires a deep marketing budget. 9. Packaging. The design of the package for your product, both art and copy, can dramatically affect your sales. Art design is one area in particular where most people require outside expertise to get the job done properly. 10. POP, or point of purchase displays. Point of purchase displays are the setups, racks, and holders you see in retail stores and some other business establishments. They're usually designed to promote the product. They can range from simple cardboard displays and dispensers to full-blown tables and kiosks designed around a special theme. 11. Inserts. Inserts are printed flyers carrying your message that are placed in with another company's product. They can be put into shopping bags, tipped into magazines and newspapers, or tucked into outgoing envelopes. 12. Classified ads. Classified ads are small ads that run in special classified sections of magazines, newspapers, and trade journals. One-step classifieds are ads that try to make a sale directly. Two-step classifieds are ads that get prospects to request information from you in the first step. As the second step, you send your complete package of sales literature in order to get the customer to take action. 13. Outside sales. These are made by salespeople who make presentations away from your place of business. Compensation structures vary from salary to commission to draw against commission and a host of others. An outside sales force can be made up of salespeople who do it all from start to finish or broken down into very specialized categories. Some companies use different members of their sales force to generate leads, others to make the initial contact, still others to educate the prospect, and then others to close the deal. 14. Inside sales. These are the sales made by people who work on your premises. They can be salary, commission, or anywhere in between. Their experience and product knowledge can range from minimal to thoroughly detailed. 15. Manufacturer's representatives. These are experienced salespeople who independently represent the products of many different companies. They're always commissioned salespeople. Their advantage to a company is that they bring years of experience and many established accounts with them. 16. Joint ventures. This type of marketing involves teaming up with another company to sell your products to their customers or their products to your customers. Few marketing consultants or advertising agencies know anything about how to structure and implement solid joint venture deals. Of those that do, they always stress that you look for non-competitive businesses to cut a deal with. I disagree with this completely. For many areas of interest, people buy as many products or services as are available. Perfect examples of this are health products, diet products, books, records and tapes, and any type of how-to information. Competitive companies could easily share customers in these areas and increase profits for both partners. The 6 basic components of any successful marketing piece. All areas of marketing have one thing in common. Their essential purpose is to make a sales pitch. That means that you have to gear every marketing piece you use to making a complete pitch that will move your prospects or customers to take the action you want them to. In order to do that most effectively, the following 6 steps should be included in all of your marketing efforts. This includes every ad, sales letter, commercial, press release, and sales pitch made by your sales staff. 1. A powerful headline or opening paragraph. You have only a few seconds to get your prospect's attention and prove that your marketing piece is worth reading or listening to. You must open with a powerful headline or powerful opening paragraph if you want to successfully draw someone into your piece. 2. An irresistible offer. The offer you'll be making to your audience can make or break your marketing. an extremely enticing offer can shoot your results through the roof, while a weak offer can guarantee the failure of your piece. 3. Body copy that delivers your basic story. Here's where you lay out all the fine details. What's in it for your customer? What your product does for them? How other folks just like them have benefited from your product? And so on. 4. Your ironclad guarantee. A strong guarantee can nudge fence sitters over to your side. It enhances your credibility and makes it clear that you believe in your product strongly enough to stand behind it. 5. The call to action. This is where you tell your prospects precisely what you want them to do. You can't be timid or subtle here, because if you don't tell people exactly what you want them to do, most of them won't do anything at all. Make it very clear what action you'd like them to take. 6. An incentive to act now. This gives you one final chance to convert more of your undecided prospects into paying customers. A strong incentive, which usually takes the form of some type of added bonus, can turn marginal results into winning results. How to select the optimum strategies and techniques for marketing your business. Now that you know what fundamental strategies should drive your marketing, which marketing avenues exist, and the components that make up any successful marketing piece, let's look at how you go about determining which options will be the most profitable for you. There are 4 steps to this process. 1. Analyze your current marketing. 2. Plan new strategies and techniques. 3. Test the new plan. 4. Fine-tune the plan to cut costs and maximize profit. Now, let's look at each step individually. 1. Analyze your current marketing. You have 2 objectives at this stage. The first is to eliminate any marketing that is obviously not working. This may sound easier than it actually is, particularly if you have a marketing staff that's in love with their own ideas. Marketing people are often driven by the desire to be creative, not the desire to sell. This can be a disastrous mistake. You don't need your marketing to be glossy and clever. You need it to be able to effectively pitch and sell your product or service, to be merciless about weeding out anything that doesn't carry its own weight. Your second step is to identify which aspects of your marketing are working. You might have an ad with a great headline but a flimsy offer, or a news release format that consistently wins you free media coverage. Make sure you keep whatever you have that already works for you. 2. Plan new strategies and techniques. Your first step here is to clearly define your essential selling advantage. You should be able to clearly state your ESA in just a few sentences. Preferably, you can do this in just one sentence. Remember Domino Pizza's ESA. Fresh, hot pizza delivered in 30 minutes or less, guaranteed. It doesn't leave much to the imagination, does it? Once you've created your ESA, you pick the strategies and techniques that support it most effectively. Also, you always have to keep your audience in mind. For instance, if you sell cookbooks, you'll want to run ads in the food or family sections of the newspaper, not in the front section that carries the main news. 3. Test the plan. Start testing each technique you've chosen. Test small and test prudently. Run small test ads and run them only once. Or do small mailings. Test different versions. Have your salespeople try different sales angles on different days. You can test any kind of marketing technique for a day, a week, or a month. Here's an excellent way to test any concept, technique, or sales pitch quickly and inexpensively. Conduct an in-house telemarketing test. That's a fancy term for calling your customers on the phone to test out a new technique or strategy. Take an hour or so and try 3 different pitches on 30 customers, 10 each. You'll find out precisely what works and what doesn't. You can then adapt this pitch to create winning headlines, ads, offers, etc. Remember, Your first cut at a new plan is what I call a hunch plan. You're taking your best guess based on your previous experience and your newly acquired knowledge. All subsequent plans are refinements based on the actual results of your testing. 4. Fine-tune the plan to cut costs and maximize profits. This is a further extension of the refinement process. It will become an ongoing procedure for as long as you're in business. As the lifetime value of your average customer increases, you can afford to invest more in your marketing. The same goes for any other areas you improve on that increase your revenue. Successful companies constantly work to find the right mix of marketing techniques that provide the optimum results. Even when you have no winners working for you, you need to keep testing other avenues. All marketing has a useful lifespan. Eventually, it wears out and is no longer productive, so you need to keep testing new ideas to replace the old. Here are the steps you use to fine-tune your marketing and keep it humming at optimum levels. 1. Determine how much you can afford to spend on attracting new customers. The longer a customer stays with you, the more each customer spends each time they buy, and the more repeat sales you make all contribute to how much you can afford to spend on winning new customers. If you know that each customer represents $100 in profit every year for 5 years, you could get rich by spending $100 now to get the customer and reaping the profits later. Of course, you'd have to have the cash flow to accommodate this. 2. Spend more to spend less. Commit as much money as you can up front to bring in back-end profit. Remember, the easiest, most cost-effective sales to make are repeat sales to satisfied customers. Once you have an established customer base, your marketing costs diminish significantly. 3. Continually experiment with your best marketing pieces. Your strongest performing marketing piece is called your control. Even when you have the most lucrative control you've ever developed working for you, you should still try to improve it. Test headlines, offers, basic information, prices, packages, and guarantees. Often, taking separate products and packaging them together at a higher price can produce a significant jump in sales. Also, if an element works in one marketing piece, adapt it to your other marketing. If you have a particularly powerful headline in an ad, use it in a sales letter too, or adapt it to a new pitch for your sales staff. Whatever you do, keep testing. Test, 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 and then test some more. That's how you'll discover the real winners. 4. Change your marketing based only on the hard facts produced by your testing. Are you bored with your advertising? Are your employees sick of the same old offer week in and week out? Would your family like to see you change a little something here or there? So what? As long as your marketing is working, as long as it's bringing in sales, don't mess with it. The only time you should replace your marketing is when your testing has proven that something else works even better. Your end goal in using this planning and fine-tuning approach is to come up with as many different marketing techniques that work for you as possible. But let me throw in a word of caution here. Start slowly and work your way up. Start with those concepts and techniques that you think will provide the most benefit for the least expense and effort. Don't take on more than you can handle. It's far better to have 2 or 3 techniques producing solid, consistent profits than to overwhelm yourself with 6 or 8 techniques that you can't devote the proper attention to. Take things one step at a time, and remember to have some fun while you're doing it. Conclusion. Congratulations. You've just taken your first step towards becoming a master marketer. There are 2 quick points that I want to leave you with. The first is probably obvious, but I'll cover it anyway. Although I've covered each of the various fundamentals and supporting points individually, they really aren't meant to stand on their own. Each concept and technique works with, weaves in and out of, and connects with the others, sort of like the characters on a soap opera. These interrelationships cause a net effect that's much more powerful than each technique judged on its own merit. You've already seen that increasing sales gives you more money to spend on marketing, which then increases the lifetime value of your customer and your repeat sales, which in turn gives you even more money to spend on marketing. Consistently marketing creates an ever-increasing upward spiral of profit. Do you see how relatively easy it is to actually double or triple your business? Finally, I want you to know that even though this is just an overview, a broad sampling of concepts and techniques, you're already light years ahead of your competition. Look at the way your competition markets, if they even market at all. Most likely, they have a one-shot, standalone mentality. And I'm certain that 99% of your competitors market from the standpoint of what's in it for them, not what's in it for their customers. You, however, now know what a waste of precious time, effort, and money that kind of marketing really is. I'm going to close this chapter by repeating once again the keys to building a strong, long-term business. 1. Focus exclusively on your customers' needs as opposed to your own. 2. Service your customers far beyond any level of service your competition might offer. Do these two things on a consistent basis and the sky's the limit. A suggestion for exponentially increasing your ability to market like a pro. All right, we've just about come to the end of this chapter. I've presented 12 extremely powerful marketing concepts. Together, they introduce a new marketing perspective that you've probably never even thought about. Yet it's immediately obvious that these concepts and this perspective make complete sense. What I recommend is that you read this chapter again at least one more time. The concepts you've just discovered represent many years of experience and a great deal of expense to accumulate. You'll find that repeat readings will solidify the concepts for you and trigger new ideas for how they can best be used to their full advantage. I'm sure you're excited by this newly discovered perspective on marketing, and I'm happy that you are. After all, you now possess an incredible edge over all your competition. In fact, you hold this same edge over nearly anyone doing business today. Chapter 3, the one crucial reason why most advertising fails and what to do to make sure yours succeeds. For many small businesses, advertising can be a costly and disappointing effort. Part of the problem is that most books on increasing advertising effectiveness are geared toward the big-budget, image-building campaigns of large corporations. These techniques don't work for small businesses, startup operations, or entrepreneurs. As a small business, you're probably working with a limited budget. You can't afford to waste precious advertising dollars developing visibility or building an image. Your advertising serves one major purpose: to sell more of your products or services. The second part of the problem is that most advertisers waste enormous amounts of time, effort, and money on aspects of their advertising that won't significantly improve results. This is truly a shame because these misfires are based on your best intentions. The material in this chapter assumes two things. First, that you do have a limited budget and want to make every dollar work harder. And second, that you're interested in getting the maximum results for your marketing efforts. What works for better marketing, why it works, and how to use this information to increase your profit. This chapter will show you precisely what you need to do to create successful advertising, advertising that gets more leads and sales, and how to do it without increasing your advertising budget. In fact, in many cases, you can actually cut your advertising costs by concentrating on improving those areas that yield the highest returns. You can often eliminate costs associated with other less fruitful areas. How are we going to achieve such a lofty goal? By focusing on the one crucial factor that can make or break your advertising. That factor is selecting the right people to advertise to. In this chapter, you'll learn why the correct selection of your customer base is so critical. Then you'll find out how to use this information to get better results from your advertising. And better results means more profit. Why the correct selection of customers is the most crucial aspect of any advertising campaign. There are many books and many series about how to improve advertising performance. Some insist that the headline is everything because it's used to catch your customer's attention. Others emphasize that the creative use of color will easily outdistance black and white ads. Plus, there are dozens of other theories. There's good news and bad news about these theories. The good news is they are right, to some degree. The bad news is that improving any aspect of an ad will prove worthless if you haven't addressed the single factor that most affects your advertising success. That factor is audience, audience, audience. It doesn't matter how creative or colorful your ad is. It doesn't matter how powerful a headline you have or how persuasive your copy is. It doesn't even matter that you have the greatest product on the market at a price that cuts all of your competitors. None of these factors matter if you're advertising in media that doesn't interest your customers or mailing your promotions to people who have no use for your product. In order for any advertising to be effective, first and foremost, it must reach your target audience. A lukewarm ad presented to the proper audience will result in far more sales than a solid ad presented to the wrong audience. Now just think how far you could get with a superior ad directed to the proper audience. The rule of 40-40-20. Let's look at the mathematics of why audience is so important. A well-known but seldom followed rule of advertising states that success is 40% your audience, 40% your company, your product, your offer, 20% creative, which is graphics, copy, color, and theme. Here's why the 40% of audience is even more important than it first appears. The second category is made up of three components, your company, your product, and your offer. Each component, then, really only represents a bit over 13%. For a total of 40%. The numbers drop even more significantly in the creative category. Here, each of the four components, graphics, copy, color, and theme, only yield 5% of the total benefit. Yet creative is the primary area that advertisers put the most effort into improving. As an example, let's look at the results achieved by upgrading the color of an ad. To go from black and white to one additional color will increase your cost by 20-30%, and to expand to full-blown four-color with a bleed could easily triple your cost. The net result would be that you'd pay 300% more to increase your sales by only 5%. Looking at the numbers, concentrating the majority of your efforts on improving creative simply doesn't make sense. Worse yet, it could completely wipe out any profits you might otherwise gain from your campaign. The golden rule of advertising success. It should now be clear that improving areas that have marginal impact on your results are a waste of your time, effort, and money. As a small business, these resources are too valuable to waste. The most productive use of your resources can be found in properly defining and understanding your customer base. That leads us to my golden rule of advertising success. To build a profitable company, concentrate your efforts on correctly identifying the broadest possible audience who will buy your product or service. Let's take this one step further. Here's how to turn your small business into a big business. Once you've identified your customer base, find out what these customers need. Create a short questionnaire, about 6 questions. What are their problems, their needs? What new products would help your customers be more successful? Then develop these products and sell them to your customers again and again. How to make sure your advertising gets the results you want. Now that you know why focusing on your customers is the most important factor of any ad campaign, let's find out how to create effective customer-driven advertising. Here's a checklist for making sure your advertising is generating maximum results. Identify your customers' most vital needs. Use short questionnaires, phone calls, and your gut instincts for quick, low-cost research. Then, make sure your advertising starts by demonstrating that you understand their needs. A good way to do this is to dramatize their most nagging problems, followed by strong proof that your product will provide the solution. Follow your customers' needs by showing them the powerful benefits they'll get from using your product or service. Benefits are the key to strong sales. Most advertising concentrates on features. This is a mistake. Features focus on your company or your product. Benefits talk directly to your customers about what they get. For example, if you're a CPA who sells payroll and accounting software, don't just print a laundry list of your system's features. Show your prospective customers precisely how they can save money, eliminating the aggravating discrepancies of manual balancing procedures and free up valuable time. It's benefits like these that make customers want to buy, because everyone wants to save time, make their own life easier, or make more money. Make your customers a powerful offer and put a time limit on it. Give them a reduced price, a rebate, a month of free service, something of value. By limiting how long your special offer is available, you motivate your customers to take action now. In short, gear every aspect of your advertising materials to your customer's point of view. Demonstrate that you can fulfill their needs, solve their problems, and help them achieve what they want. Do this, and you'll surely increase your sales. How to select the media that will get the best results for your ads. Selecting the right media can be a complicated process, but there's one key element that's common to all good selections. Go with the media that your customers read, listen to, and watch. The more clearly and specifically you can define your target customer profile, the more accurately you'll be able to select the correct media. When selecting media, avoid being a groundbreaker. If your competition is successful with certain magazines, you probably will be too. If you can't resist the urge to branch out, start by trying similar magazines in the same category. Test new areas prudently, one step at a time. Don't commit all your funds to an experimental campaign, or you might find yourself without operating capital. Experimenting with uncharted territory is an expensive undertaking, best left to large corporations with huge budgets. Most small businesses can't afford the dubious luxury of pioneering. Mailing list. How to cash in with your customer profile. Here's a checklist for selecting mailing lists that will get you the most leads, sales, and profits. Select lists of people who have a history of buying through the mail.